Live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt. Starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, what is it already, the 3rd of June? No, the 4th of June? Yeah. Friday, June 4th in the year of our Lord, 2021. Ladies and gentlemen, this is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is indeed our guide. And yes, indeed, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We are LibertyRoundtable.com, syndicated by LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Tell the tale of liberty everywhere you go. Incredible talk shows around the clock on LovingLiberty.net. Donate liberally today. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, most importantly, there are incredible talk show hosts around the clock. C.L. Bryant, Kate Daly, and a bunch more. Beth Ann and Sam Bushman live with Liberty Roundtable. All kind of things are happening. Now, listen, there are events galore this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. I am live from South Dakota. I am in the beautiful Rapid City just outside of Mount Rushmore. Black Hills territory, if you will, and I am live from the Red Pill Expo now. We're sitting at a table inside the beautiful venue, wonderful, nice hotel right across the street. Bison is available on the menu. What do they call that? The Bison Golden Nugget. Thank you, Zach. Bison Golden, what is it? Golden Bison? Say it loud. The Golden Bison is the name of the restaurant here. Anyway, it's just phenomenal stuff, ladies and gentlemen. When we came into town, a very small, a tiny, surprisingly tiny airport, but what a delightful place to come to. I'll tell you right now, as Red Pill sets up and kicks off tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, all day. For now, it is a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back. One heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Faith-filled Friday, ladies and gentlemen. You got to dig that. So 2 hours ahead, live from redpillexpo.com. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have a chance to be here live, go online and get yourself one of the online subscriptions. And you can literally watch the proceedings from inside the venue right from the comfort of your own home. If you can make your way down to Rapid City, South Dakota, we are here live. It takes a ticket to get in, redpillexpo.com. But we would love to see you here. All right, we're also covering another event that's happening down in Florida, ladies and gentlemen. And this event is for the USS Liberty. As you know, there are survivors from that horrible attack back in 1967. That was the year I was born, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you right now, the American people need to know the truth on this. And there's been people working at telling the truth about this for literally decades, and God bless, I repeat, God bless every one of them for their defense of America, for their truth-telling throughout the decades. Many of them survived, and thank heavens they did. Believe it or not, we have the president of the USS Liberty team on the line with us now, straight from their event kicking off in Florida now. Larry Bowen, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Well, thank you very much. We're here celebrating the 54th anniversary of the attack. It's not a celebration for the
It's more of a commemoration,
itself.
Isn't it, sir?
It's more of a commemoration of life for the 34 men who lost their lives. We the crew, remember them for the ultimate sacrifice that they gave. Our government never gave them any kind of formal recognition, so we, the crew, recognize them every year, and we decorate their gravesite on June 8th. This year, like I said, this is a 54th reunion, and we're doing it a little bit early. We wanted to do it last year, but because of the pandemic, we had to postpone it, but the crews here in Pensacola. We've got a pretty full schedule, and we're all getting up in years. I was a 21-year-old sailor back in 67, so I'm 75 now. And all of us, we're really looking forward to this trip. So, and I thank you for having us on air this morning.
All right, let's talk about where are you guys exactly, what's happening, who's invited. Give us the deets on it, will you?
We're over on North Davis Highway at the Holiday Inn Express. We're going to have some guest speakers. Mr. Hunan, who wrote Operation Cyanide, which is a book that details a scenario that would have had a submarine over in the Mediterranean about the same time that we were over there. With a, well, that particular scenario would have had them involved in the war part as well. But all in all, it would have been a false flag type of operation, just like the operation that involved us. As you probably know, we were attacked by our ally, Israel. They claimed that it was a mistaken identity, but it was a coordinated attack by three joint forces. Their jets, then a group of napalm jets, and then patrol boats, torpedo boats that came out. So we got hit by rockets, napalm, and torpedoes. And only one torpedo out of the five that were launched actually hit the ship. But it killed 34 sailors and ended up wounding 174 of us out of a crew of 294. That's over a 70% casualty rating. And most of the American public don't know anything about it because our government covered it up and the Israeli government covered it up. But if anyone wants to hear any more about it, like I said, it's here at North Davis Highway at the Holiday Inn Express. We're going to be showing a four-part docuseries on Saturday and Sunday morning, starting at 10 a.m. That docuseries was produced by True News, and it's a true story of what actually happened that day. It has us survivors actually telling exactly what happened from our own mouths.
All right. Now tell me, when you say you're at that highway, what town is it?
I'm sorry. What was that?
What town is it in, the event?
Oh, it's in Pensacola, Florida.
All right. So it is Pensacola. I just wanted to make sure of that for some of our remote listeners that may not know where that highway is. So the USS Liberty survivors are having a commemoration. It's the 54th commemoration. I'm literally calling it a day of healing is the way I want to refer to it, because it's not a celebration of what happened. It's an acknowledgement of is what the survivors really want. They want to have an acknowledgement that it did indeed happen, as they claim. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a misfire. The cover-up is unjustified. We need to come clean and be candid and know all the details of what the United States government knew. And the problem that we have is they're still withholding information. Even though we have the truth because survivors were there and can give you a play-by-play, that's wonderful. But what we need is the government to create the ultimate accountability by admitting the wrongs, being transparent about the reality, and then giving true healing with honesty and transparency. Is that what we're after, Larry?
Yes, absolutely. And we've been after that for the past 54 years. And we're going to continue to pursue that for as long as us survivors live. Last year, the board opened it up so that our sons and daughters and other relatives can actually join the board and carry on our traditions even after our survivors are passed on, so that we can keep the organization going forward and still searching for the truth. some of the major government organizations like the NSA and CIA still refuse to release documents that would verify that it was in fact a cover-up on the part of our government.
All right, now I want to make sure people know really what we're talking about. There is a USS Liberty Veterans Association, and that's what you're the president of, correct?
That is correct.
And the website is what, USSLibertyVeterans.org?
That is correct.
All right, now this event, is it all weekend long or is it today and tomorrow? Give us the details of exactly when and what and who.
It's all weekend long. We're here today, Saturday and Sunday. The film is being shown Saturday and Sunday morning from 10 until noon, both days. It's a four-part series. So it's a little about, I'm going to say, 4.5 hours total. So you'll see the first two segments on Saturday and the third and fourth segments on Sunday. And then we've got other activities going on for the crew during the weekend as well. And then Monday morning, we'll be departing the area.
All right, my friend, I got a little break. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. If you have anybody else you want to jump on as well, another witness to jump in, that would be great. Otherwise, I'll get some of the details, and we'll come right back and finish up with you, Larry. Larry Bone with us, ladies and gentlemen. He is indeed president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association. USSLibertyVeterans.org on your radio.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to Larry Bowen, president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association. USSLibertyVeterans.org is the website. They're experiencing their 54th commemoration of the event that took place back in 1967, a tragic event that the government has flat out never blatantly admitted to. They've given some compensations, and they've manipulated and admitted little tidbits, but not really. Larry is a USS Liberty survivor of the Six-Day War massacre, if you will. And the Liberty Veterans Group is revealing truth about what happened there. Truth about the Israeli attack, ladies and gentlemen, from a I was there first person reality check. How many survivors are alive right now, Larry?
We've got about 136.
All right, so how many men were
killed?
Go ahead, sir.
Initially, and we've lost about another 100 since then. So
34 killed at the time, 100 have passed away since, and you've got 136 alive telling the truth today?
Yes.
And are there men that are not willing to tell the truth or not willing to speak out, or is everybody to a man speaking out?
Well, we were told initially never to talk about the incident. We were threatened with imprisonment, fines, or both. And so many of us just didn't say anything at all. When Jim Ennis, a Navy lieutenant on board the ship, wrote his first book, and I believe it was 1980, that kind of opened up the floodgates. And then other members of the crew started writing books. Since Jim didn't get put in prison and he didn't get fined, and there were no other problems, or it didn't appear that there were any other problems.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. What can the American people do? I don't know that the government will ever admit to the truth. They haven't even admitted to JFK, for crying out loud. So there's all kinds of false flag operations, Larry, that we just can't get the government to be clean on. I had hoped that Donald Trump would release a lot of truth on this, but he really never did he? Larry, Donald Trump didn't release any information like we had hoped either, did he?
No, and you know, we thought there was a possibility that we would get some traction there with his son-in-law trying to work a peace deal over in the Middle East, but then that didn't work out either. I actually wrote several letters to the president and never got a response. That's the typical reaction from any of the congressmen or senators, or, you know, any of the official offices that we've attempted to get any action through in our government. They just clam up and, you know, either claim no comment or say that the Navy Court of Inquiry that was conducted shortly after the incident was the only official action that was going to be taken by our government. And that was a quickie Court of Inquiry. It was done within the first week. And that was it was a whitewash. I mean, it was declared by President Johnson that it needed to be in line with what Israel was saying, that it was a mistaken identity. And that was a finding of the board. And that's the way it ended up. So we've been fighting an uphill battle ever since.
All right, and we're calling this then, Larry, the 54th annual day of commemoration, a day of healing in Pensacola, Florida, right now, right?
Yes.
Is the event free?
I'm sorry?
Is the event free?
Yes, it is.
All right, free event going on all day. Is the best place for people to learn more about what's happening at the USS Liberty Veterans .org website?
Yes, and you'll have veterans here that are available to answer, you know, questions firsthand.
Excellent. Do you have any other veteran that wants to jump on the radio with us and tell us a little bit about their experiences?
No, most of them are eating their breakfast right now. So I tried.
Understood.
I looked around and asked.
I understand. Let me ask you this question. What do you think that Americans can do to help with the cause, to help with the healing, to help with the commemoration? What can we, the people, do most for those who we care about that we don't want to be forgotten? Like, I do care. I don't want them to be forgotten. I love them. I'm grateful for their service. I'm grateful for their truth-telling. But at this point, 54 years later, I don't know what I can really do, right? And I don't mean that to be negative. I mean that to be healing, to say, hey, what we want to know what we can do and how we can best help, Larry.
The biggest thing is to tell people about the Liberty Veterans Association and the incident, the attack. Get the truth out. That's one of our primary goals. That's one of the goals that we set when we first organized in 1980. And we wanted to find all of our fellow sailors, and we haven't located all of them. Some of them kind of went into, you know, I'll call it recluse mode, because they didn't, you know, they were just shell shocked. One of my buddies, he left the country. He just couldn't take it. And I talked with him just about a year ago, and he said he's probably not coming back. I tried to get him to come to this this reunion, and he said no. So
and he won't come just because he's too distraught about the war crimes that were committed? Is that really the deal? I mean, is it just too overwhelming?
Well, he's, I think, like me, he's probably dealing with PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, and everybody deals with it differently, and his way of dealing with it was to just block everything out and live in the wilderness. And that's one way of doing it. Once I found out what I had, I went out and professional help.
And really, one of the issues here, Larry, the biggest issue is that we've never really had a proper congressional investigation of the act, right?
That is true. But because of the length of time, I really don't think that we're ever going to get that. You know, we've pursued it. And I just don't think it's going to happen.
And sadly, you may be correct, Larry, but we got to keep pushing on it. We got to keep working on it. We got to keep advocating for it. We got to find somebody that will take our cause. We'd never give up on truth telling. We should never give up on transparency. America, the land of the free, owes it to those who serve their country so well, sir. Thank you so much, Larry. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there it is. We're talking about Larry Bowen, president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association, usslibertyveterans.org. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Back in March, former CDC Director Robert Redfield said he believed the COVID-19 pandemic originated in a Wuhan, China lab. Dr. Fauci at the time said Mr. Redfield's opinion does not make biological sense, end quote. Now we're learning State Department leaders were told not to pursue an investigation into the origins of COVID-19, as U.S. tax dollars were being used at the Wuhan Institute where the virus may have escaped. Thursday, Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, says he does not yet support Democrats trying to go it alone to pass an infrastructure package. Manchin made it clear that he wants talks between the White House and Republicans to continue. A SpaceX rocket blasted off Thursday en route for the International Space Station with a supply of squid, toothpaste, and avocados. In fact, 7,300 pounds of supplies should arrive Saturday. This is USA Radio News.
Recently, Facebook announced its ban on former President Trump, but promised to review the ban in 6 months. Now, Newsmax wants to know if you think Trump should be back on Facebook. Vote in Newsmax's national poll and let us know your opinion. Just text the word North to 39747. That's North to 39747. It takes just seconds. Make your voice heard. We'll share poll results with the 30 million people who watch Newsmax TV. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. It's already the fourth largest cable news channel in America, with great recent guests like Donald Trump, Mike Huckabee, Franklin Graham, John Voight, Alan Dershowitz, Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, and so many more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. So vote now in the Newsmax poll on Facebook's Trump ban. Just text North to 39747. Let Newsmax and America know your opinion.
NASA is planning space missions to red-hot Venus. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau has more.
NASA will be heading to Venus twice in the next decade. The agency has announced a pair of missions to the planet in 2028 and 2030 to explore the planet's atmosphere and geology. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson said the missions aim to learn how Venus became an inferno-like world, capable of melting lead at the surface. The last U.S. craft to visit the planet was the Magellan Orbiter in 1990. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
A famous defense attorney has died. Wendy King reports.
F. Lee Bailey, a criminal defense attorney best known for representing O.J. Simpson during his murder trial, has died in Atlanta, his family has announced. He died while in hospice, but the family declined to reveal why. He also represented Patty Hearst for crimes she committed with the Symbionese Liberation Army after the group kidnapped her. Bailey was 87.
We are USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Incredible interview with Larry Bowen, and he is with the USS Liberty Veterans Association celebrating their incredible reality. And when I say celebrating, I really mean commemorating, folks. It's the 54th annual day of commemoration, a day of healing going on in Pensacola, Florida this weekend. It's free. Get a hold of them if you want to learn more and attend if you're down that way. USSLibertyVeterans.org to learn more about that. Meanwhile, a quick recap of yesterday's show. We had on our buddy Larry Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com. Over the past 50 years, Brian and his family have been helping people understand precious metals, the value of taking possession of those metals, and more. Spread the word. RustCoinAndGift.com is their website. We had the Honest Money Report. Talked about gold at $1,883.90, silver $27.64, but you can't get a silver eagle, silver dollar for less than $38 right now. Amazing the spread there indeed as they manipulate metals. Remember, the Constitution calls for honest money, calls for gold and silver to be used as the payment of any debts. States are charged constitutionally with that responsibility and to take nothing else in payment thereof. So beware about dishonest money. We also talked about Paul Votkins, who stormed the Senate chamber. He's now pled guilty. I'm telling you, it isn't going to go well for him. We also talked about the Fed takes closer look at creating digital money. Janice Mihalik, Yeah, the central bank is beginning to explore the rewards and risks of creating a digital currency. And they say whether they create that digital currency or not, they've got to control the currency. They've got to monitor that currency. Very scary indeed. Now, it's interesting we talk about honest money like we do. And I'm sitting right now at Red Pill Expo, the founder of Red Pill Expo and author of Creature from Jekyll Island, G. Edward Griffin. He's the leader of the Red Pill Expo, doing a great job. He's here now. Everybody's setting up. And if we're going to talk about honest money, you can't do so without mentioning the incredible documentation put together in the book that's been out for a long time. It's the quintessential Bible on what happened at the 1913 sellout, if you will. It was actually a little before 1913, but they passed it on Christmas Eve, kind of Christmas time there. The Federal Reserve, which has been really the demise of America. But Creature from Jekyll Island is really the quintessential documentation on what happened at the time. So there you have that. We also talked to Alex Newman yesterday, one of the incredible speakers at the Red Pill Expo coming up. RedPillExpo.org is where you can learn more. COVID was a weaponized scenario. It was a weaponized operation by China. Now, more and more and more people are realizing that reality check, ladies and gentlemen. TheNewAmerican.com is where you can learn more and read Alex's articles on these details. That was Hour 1 of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. Hour 2, we had our guest on, another person attending Red Pill Expo today, in addition to Alex Newman, Elizabeth Fairchild. And she's a social media influencer and a video editor and a whole lot more. And she created the Red Pill Expo promo reel, which I'm happy to say I was part of. She put me in the video. Hopefully that makes some sense. But that should be found at redpillexpo.org as well. She's also involved with Cardio Miracle, one of the advertisers and one of the supplements that'll be here today supporting Red Pill. Ed is an advocate of Cardio Miracle. So it really helps with your heart. It's a nitrate oxide supplement, and we'll be learning more about that over the next couple of days, I'm sure, as well. We talked about the swamp slash deep state is weaponizing fear and anxiety to totally transform America, but we're not going to let that happen on our watch. We talked about Nevada counties stand tall for liberty, ladies and gentlemen. That is a landmark progress in our Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association event. Okay, that's important to understand. We talked about Rand Paul. He says the left is terrorizing his family. I have exposed the truth about Dr. Fauci. First, he created gain-of-function research. Yeah, to weaponize COVID. Right? He funded the Wuhan lab that potentially created the coronavirus and leaked it. Some say by accident. I'm saying on purpose. And then he lied to us repeatedly about the pandemic. So he funded it, he lied, and then he profited big time in addition to those other criminal acts, if you will. Very serious allegations indeed, but we need to have open, transparent discussion about this. Rand Paul calls for Fauci to be fired in a classic two-word response. Fire Fauci. That's the hashtag, and it should be, by the way. We talked about a 23-year-old in Massachusetts pled guilty to hacking social media accounts to steal account names and cryptocurrency worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's according to the Department of Justice. So that's interesting. Everybody thinks crypto is so safe and everything else. My statement from the very beginning on this crypto stuff has been, don't dip your toe in the crypto. From the desk of Donald J. Trump, ladies and gentlemen, is no longer. Trump shut down his personal blog on Wednesday, and Trump senior staff says that he'll return via an unnamed social media platform soon. So he shut down from the desk of Donald Trump, but they say he'll be back bigger, badder, better, finer than ever. Time will tell if that's true. We also, let's talk about the future of newsrooms. Adrian Pennington was a great article. We wrapped up yesterday's broadcast talking about that in detail. So it was really an award-winning two-hour broadcast, still available online at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Okay, Casey, grab your mic. Sorry for the delay, ladies and gentlemen. So when it's live radio, it gets kind of crazy. I don't have a mic stand like normal, so I'm holding my mic, and I've just got 66 things going on. We have a guest online. You got to flip up your switch there, Casey. And with headphones and a mic in hand, you want to talk as close to your mic as you can get. And let's learn about who you are. I just met Casey this morning. Hi, Casey.
Hi, how are you doing, Sam? I really appreciated your info there.
Well, thank you so much, sir. So let's learn. Your name is Casey. Your last name?
Whalen.
Casey Whalen. You're from Northern Idaho.
That's correct.
And you're, what do you call yourself, a YouTuber?
Yeah, a culmination of many things,
I guess. YouTube hasn't shut you down yet?
Oh, they're trying. I've got a strike. I've had multiple strikes. The people that play in the YouTube world, we all kind of know how that goes. We're getting sniped at right now. And you got to kind of be careful what you say, which is sad.
Maybe you can help Dennis Prager. He needs help big time. By the way, I got shut down by Twitter. And I don't know if you know, but there's a report out of Israel. Israel News highlighted this, and so did LifeSite News, which is that more people are dying from the COVID vaccine in the elderly population in Israel than are dying from the actual COVID, okay? And so they reported this news. I dared to report on their report, and Twitter shut me down. And they said, Sam, if you retract it, we'll put you back up, and I refuse.
Good for you.
And the reason I refuse is I'm not even claiming it's the facts. I'm merely telling you that there are doctors and physicians and scientists and experts in Israel that are making this claim, and it's credible enough to hit LifeSite News and Israel mainstream news outlets. You just don't hear it in America, but you hear it there. Why can't I report on their reports?
We know why. They don't want the truth to get out there, and you're right over the target, Sam.
Yeah, anyway, I find that fascinating. I'm not even making the claim. I am reporting on the reports. Now, I happen to believe the reports, but I have the right to my beliefs. My point is, I'm just merely documenting other news sources that are very credible. They're global news sources that really, I don't see how you reject a LifeSite News and in Israeli mainstream media reports. I don't see how you just say that's not relevant enough to cover. But I did and got shut down, and I'm simply, I'm contemplating, should I sue them?
Why not? Stand up for your rights.
I'm thinking about it. So they shut me down, and I'm not willing to. The funny other thing is that they, when we started claiming that it came from a lab, and they said, no, animal transfer to human stuff. And now a year later, they admit the truth. I don't know how that's all going to go down, but that ought to fit into people's lawsuits as well, because I've been saying that there's a good possibility that it came from a lab intentionally so with the United States dollars backing it through Fauci funding the research. So we funded gain-of-function research, and we know that it leaked from a lab, probably intentionally so by the communists, and we're not going to report or tell the tale on that. Well, now they've had to. I wonder how that'll figure into lawsuits.
Yeah, and you mentioned zoonotics there. That's essentially the transfer from animals to humans and vice versa. So that's also part of the Agenda 21 paradigm in controlling the populace. So that's what one thing people really need to understand. That's a huge part of this, along with the controlling the food, of course.
Yeah, when you talk too much about zoonotics, it makes you feel like you're in the zoo, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a fun word to say, isn't it?
All right, how did you get into the media, Casey?
How did I do video?
No, how did you get into the media?
Tell
me a little bit about who you are, your life story, kind of how you got involved, and, what created the, I don't want to say woke part, because we're not really woke, right? But we've taken the red pill for sure.
Absolutely. I started a couple of years ago, just break.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and get the rest of the answer. How's that?
Sounds great.
All right, Casey, say your last name.
Whalen.
Whalen, and your website, Casey?
I'm on YouTube and other platforms under North Idaho Exposed.
North Idaho Exposed, Casey Whalen, on Liberty Roundtable Live, live from the Red Pill Expo, redpillexpo.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
How do you know your child loves you?
When he calls and he says, Dad, why don't we go fishing? It's very simple, but it really counts.
They make a song up and they come into our bedroom and say, we made a song and will you listen to
it? Our next oldest daughter came with tears in her eyes. She said, Daddy, I just thank you for coming home every night when we were growing up.
My son does the nicest things. When he's playing outside, he'll come in and just give me a hug and run right back outside.
My daughter goes to the same high school that I'm the registrar at, and I'll go into my office after the bell has rung, and there's a note on my desk. And it'll usually say, Mom, I love you. I'm thinking about
you. And I think of my boy that we finally got him through graduation, and he came up to me and said, I made it. Thanks.
Family, isn't it about time?
That's all he said. And that meant everything to me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, straight from Red Pill Expo at Setup Day. The event is Saturday and Sunday. If you can come to South Dakota, would love to see you in Rapid City. We are live at redpillexpo.org. And if you can't make it in person, go online. You can sign up and watch the proceedings from the comfort of your own home. Redpillexpo.org to do that. Casey Whalen's with me, activist and citizen journalist, North Idaho Exposed on YouTube and all major platforms. Check that out. In the meantime, Casey, you were telling us a little bit about how you got into the media, sir.
Sure. So I started out as basically I had an email dialogue with my local sheriff that didn't really go so great. So I contacted my Secretary of State in Idaho. I requested, basically got 120 full-size constitutions and state constitutions all in one. And I took those to the sheriff's department, the police departments, and government offices. And after I did that for a good year plus, only to my chagrin to find out that I've done many public records requests. It's one of the powerful tools that everybody should be doing. And it's very simple. But I found out that I was in a report called Regional Intelligence Group 9 out of Spokane, Washington. And this information is disseminated to all law enforcement agencies in the area, FBI, DOJ, you name it. And basically this report I was in two of these different reports, and they had me walking in the police department or the sheriff's department, I'm not sure which one it was, with a stack of these full-size constitutions. They said, be on the lookout for me. And then after
darn right, them constitutional wielding crazy people running around. I understand.
Yeah, so then I would film the police. At this point now, they know who I am in my community. When they see me at the camera, they run away. I'm not kidding, and it's awesome. So I encourage everybody, I mean, if you're...
Hold on, I want to stop you and say, sure. Why would they run away, ladies and gentlemen? Wouldn't they be grateful? I thought they wore body cams for transparency. Wouldn't they be grateful for Casey's transparent coverage?
Yeah, they don't like questions, so they don't like being put on the spot. So
how
that's,
dare you judge my actions?
And that's the Achilles heel, that everybody, I mean... If I can get one thing across is that, you know, your camera is very powerful and you stand up for your rights, you'll be, I mean, it's just amazing what a little bit of tenacity can do. So that basically morphed into citizen journalism. And I learned video production. I have access to a full studio in Spokane. I can use any equipment I want. Long story short, I've done a bunch of interviews with people and just trying to expand and be do a bunch of various things. So it's not the same boring thing, but basically I cover protests, town halls, that sort of thing.
All right. Are you good friends with Matt Shea?
Yeah, I know Matt.
All right. Matt's a good friend of mine. He jumps on the radio with me from time to time, and he sits on a board for one of my organizations. And so we need more Matt Shays and more Casey Whalens. That's for sure. So tell me your involvement at Red Pill.
Yeah, so I basically just I'm here to fill in as a relief camera operator. So all of the hard work I've been doing the last 3 years is starting to pay off, and you know, I'm very excited to be here to help fill in and film a couple sessions possibly on Sunday, and then you know, take some B-roll, maybe do some interviews, just try to cover the expo. So I'm very excited to be here today.
excellent, my friend. And tell me how you learned about Red Pill. In other words, it's one thing to be a citizen journalist. It's another thing to try to meet your sheriff. But it's another thing to get all involved and get completely caught up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is my first Red Pill Expo, so okay. I'm really looking forward to it. There was one in Spokane, Washington, 2018.
Yes.
And I just couldn't go. And so this is awesome to
be
here.
I'll tell you the one you missed that was quintessential was the one in Crete or Jekyll Island.
Yeah.
As you know, G. Edward Griffin's book is called Creature from Jekyll Island. And man, the first Red Pill Expo I went to was the last one. And it was actually in Jekyll Island. Amazing, man.
You're so lucky. What was that like?
You know what? All I have to say is this. It was historic to be in the place where it all went down. And we literally went to the door. They had the door locked, but it basically said, hey, this is the hatch. I can't remember the exact wording, but it was basically, this is the place where that all went down, you know? And it was just kind of a little bit, I don't know what you want to say, scary to be at that very spot where you're like, hey, this is where an evil satanic conspiracy was hatched. You know, you kind of go, whoa. But it was a nice place, a great venue, a great conference was had. There was a lot of people at the time. Everybody was masking all around the world. But yet, at the Red Pill Expo, there were virtually no masks. It was excellent.
And there was no fallback from that?
No, sir.
Awesome. Very cool.
Well, when you say fallback, it depends. There was no people getting all sick. They had a heyday trying to beat us up over it, right?
But the health department didn't give you any grief.
No,
what
they
I
left
mean.
Us alone.
Very cool. All right. Good.
And, you know, now we're coming hopefully out of some of this. But still, the lie has been told, but the lie is being exposed, and guys like you are exposing it, right?
Yeah, I'm, you know, personally, I'm just trying to be supportive, and with all the censorship going on, I am actually kind of trying to be careful because I have a lot of time invested in what I've done, and it's very important to my community that stays available for them to see what's transpired. I've helped expose Agenda 21 in my community. And there's many videos that help people. And you know, Agenda 21 is just, it's everywhere. It's in your face. You know, it's social, economic, environmental, and it's here. It's in your community. And I encourage everybody to look for your local Agenda 21 public-private partnership.
Now called Agenda 2030, right?
Correct. Yes.
All right, Tom.
DeWeese,
good friend of mine, joins us on the radio often too, is one of the greatest speakers on that in modern times. It used to be Henry Lamb and others as well, but Henry's passed away. Now Tom DeWeese carries the ball quite well.
Yeah, Henry Lamb wrote The Green Religion, correct?
That's right, yep.
And he was also Tom's mentor.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and so...
Anyway, I used to interview Henry Lamb back in the day and stuff. I'm
really?
Kind of old and I've been around for a long time. This is the Liberty Roundtable Live is my show, just so you're kind of caught up. And we've been on the radio for 25 years. This year is our 25th year anniversary for Liberty Roundtable.
Congratulations.
So we're kind of old and, you know.
That's something to brag about.
Been at it for a long
time. Good for you.
A long time telling the tale of Liberty. They don't like us too well. So I want to rewind a little bit because you started out by talking about your sheriff, and that's how you started out. And you didn't feel like when you met your sheriff, he was ready to defend your liberties, right?
Well, it was an email dialogue, and essentially I had... you know, I asked him about the gold fringe on the flag, and yes. You know, maybe I was kind of getting to the weeds a little bit for him. And
he doesn't even know what you're talking about.
No, he said, "I'll forward this to the FBI and see what they have to say." So that at that point,
wow.
I was like,
thanks,
"All right, I know where this guy's at."
Forwarded to the FBI for questions, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. He was just frustrated with me because I'd sent him a couple emails. So
all right. So I don't know if you know. Are you familiar with Richard Mack?
I am. Yeah, I met Richard.
All right. So the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org, is Richard's organization. I'm the operations manager for CSPOA.
Excellent.
So that's just a little bit of info for you to know. And the reason that I tell you that and spend time on that is because we are making tremendous headway with sheriffs. In Nevada, we have had the first county, Lander County, Nevada, declare themselves a constitutional county. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
They literally went on public record to do so. And now the second county just did the same.
Excellent.
So now we have two counties, and they believe that they can get us 15 counties out of the 17 counties in Nevada to declare themselves as constitutional counties. And we created a Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association resolution back in 2014 that you might want to read. But we're starting to get counties now literally doubling down. Literally the sheriff, the county commissioners, and the district attorneys are on board. To start to stand and say, you know what, the federal government's just out of control. The state governors are out of control. They're violating the checks and balances, and we will not let this continue in our counties.
That's excellent. I'm congratulations. And how many counties are there in the U.S.?
About 3,000.
I'm sorry?
About 3,000.
Okay.
So, you know, I understand that it's a drop in the bucket, but I also understand you got to start somewhere. And this is the first time we've seen Americans that are elected officials decide to stand.
Yeah.
So things have become so egregious, is the point, Casey, that now they're starting to go, look, we just can't idly stand by any longer. Before, they used to go, okay, kooks, you're fine, but whatever. I don't want to put myself in harm's way. I don't want to have it affect my reelection chances. I don't want to. But now they're going, you know what? I need to do something, because I see that if I don't, what's going to happen? And we're starting to see that sea change. I've been in this for 25 plus years. So I was in radio before Liberty Roundtable a little bit, so that's why I say plus years. But I've never seen officials really willing to put their commitments, their oaths on the line as they're starting to now.
That's great. Actually, one thing I want to mention is that I'm starting to notice, just from my activism is that I'm hearing reports of police officers. I don't know about the deputies in my area, but I'm hearing numerous police officers that have left the force because of the COVID masks or whatever. And it's, you know, they hate it. A lot of them don't like having to go through this. And I think that's putting a lot of pressure on their superiors.
Part of it is the masks. Part of it is the defund the cops, bogus scenarios all across the country. I'm not a defund the cops guy. Now, I'm for getting rid of the bad apples, for sure. But I'm not a defund the cops guy.
How about fixing a corrupt system that enforces unlawful?
Oh, absolutely. So I'm kind of the where's the victim question.
Exactly.
Libertarian kind of movement idea where I say, you know what, you show me the victim and we'll talk about a crime. Until then, you know, so there's a lot of overreach that needs to be stopped without a doubt. And I'm not suggesting that we should support bad apples in police departments. I'm more for sheriffs than I am for police departments. Police chiefs and all those guys are all appointed. There's a real battle that needs to come down between this idea of elected versus appointed. When they're elected, they can pay attention to us or they'll be out on their ear if we get organized well enough. The appointed people are a problem because they believe they answer to somebody else. And that's a fundamental difference that Americans need to clearly understand, Casey.
What do you think about as far as statutes being passed at a state level, or, you know, and what if we had a constitutional mechanism to prevent unlawful things from becoming law in the first place?
Well, I think we do. We have fully informed juries, number one, if Americans are educated. Number two, we can vote those people who try to put unconstitutional edicts in place. You know, the term is pretend legislation. If you look at the Declaration of Independence and other places, to where, you know what, they don't have authority to violate their own constitutions. They don't have authority to take power into themselves. But the ultimate check and balance is fully informed juries and we, the people, electing somebody else in their place when they cross those lines. And those checks and balances are what's failing because the people aren't engaged and educated and involved enough. So do I support the checks and balances that can make that happen? Absolutely. Do I think another law on the books is going to help? I don't.
I do agree with you on that one.
And it's not to say that we shouldn't do something. We should. But it's just to say, look, do we need another law to defend the Second Amendment? Or do we just need to uphold the original one, right?
Absolutely.
We need to demand the upholding of the original one. We don't need 56 more laws to tell you that the Second Amendment's for reals. And so I guess what I'm saying is that I'm more of a Ten Commandments guy. I believe in the 10 laws of God rather than the gazillion commandments from bureaucrats. So that it's along those lines. And maybe I'm a little bit too libertarian on the point for some. I understand, but I also feel like if we're not careful, we're looking at the other laws people put in place rather than the original intent of the founders. And that's where, if we're not careful, we miss the boat.
Sure, I agree. But, you know, I guess the never-ending question is, how do we get back to that point?
An educated people is the only final check and balance, sir. And without that, we're doomed. With that, we literally have the seeds and the solutions for restoration. I'm not really a revolutionary guy either. I'm a restorationist in the sense that I believe, you know, the founding fathers gave us the blueprint. All we need to do is insist on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think local, focusing local, getting people to call, you know, officials in your area is very powerful.
Couldn't agree more. And that's why you are covering a lot of local issues in what you do. We're talking to Casey Whalen, ladies and gentlemen, activist and citizen journalist, live at Red Pill Expo. His organization, we're just going to call it Northern Idaho Exposed. North Idaho Exposed is available on YouTube and all major platforms. Check it out. Learn about activists and people making a difference like Casey Whalen. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you so much, Sam. Appreciate it.
All right. For Sam and Casey, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will indeed restore our republic. But you got to get involved, make a difference, and choose the right, will you? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.